You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Slogging It. There's usually three of us that record this podcast, in myself, Robbo and Jono, but it's just me tonight, I'll have you know. And for those of you wondering if it's going to be Eugene talking for 20 minutes in a monologue, I can guarantee you it's not that. I do have a very good friend of mine and somebody that I play with at Twickenham Cricket Club joining us in Devlin Tomlinson. How are you, Dev? You well?
Good, Eugene. Very, very good. Very good. I think you speaking to yourself for 20 minutes happens on a regular basis on the field normally.
It does, especially when some of the boys aren't listening to the tactics that I've come up with. No, we'll talk about that on another episode. First of all, you've just come back from South Africa. You had a two-month holiday. We're all joking. It was a holiday. You actually worked while you were out there. How was South Africa?
Good. It was obviously family's back home still. So to be honest, anything to evade the English winter, you know, we're trying to push it as far out as possible. A little bit of that taste of sunshine and a bit of cricket in the air. So obviously going back home and seeing the family was great. It's always a great time in South Africa. I think December and Jan is, you know, very, you know, everyone downs tools and it's very boisterous and very family oriented. So it was great. It was good to, I definitely pushed it a bit further than I normally do. Bit of sledging from the friends. But yes, and it was great to be there. I could have stayed a bit longer, to be fair. Definitely could have said.
I tell you what, it was just jealousy getting the better of us, seeing you in baking hot, getting all that vitamin D in South Africa. It was just coming from a place of jealousy, Devin. So don't take it too seriously. Yeah. But while you were out there, did you watch much of the SA20?
Yeah, quite a lot. Actually, I did end up going to quite a few games. Actually, quite a few friends, you know, quite involved, I think, from a bit more of a hospitality point of view. I think obviously with the music and kind of all the presenting and all that kind of stuff, it was very inclusive, I think, in that front. But it was just quite fun actually to see Durban show up for the first time in one of those series. As the Dolphins have been a bit lackluster over the years. So great to see Keshav doing well, and bumped into them a couple of times. Obviously, I was flipping between Durban and Cape Town and Joburg for work and holiday, but I ended up bumping into them three times on flights, ironically. The one time actually on the actual plane, but it was good to see Rhys Topley there as well. And yeah, obviously Klaassen was incredible. I was at one of those games where we knocked, he made 50 off nothing again. You know, geez, the sound that comes off that man's bat is incredible. But yeah, it was great to be back. I hadn't been at Kingsmead in a very long time, but Newlands is just something special. It's
not called that anymore, is it?
Well, yes, it's, you know, you're right. It has changed.
it's the Hollywood Bets.
Hollywood Bets. Correct. Yeah, which is really quite exactly similar to another stadium this side of the world. Yeah,
Brentford, for those people that do support Brentford, a few of us do, but yeah. The problem with this tournament, the SA20 that just transpired, and I said this to the lads on the other podcast, is it gives you something called hope, which is horrible considering we have a T20 World Cup coming up in June, and you're looking at how well some of these South African boys are playing in Ryan Rickelton, and you know there's so much talent coming through. And like I said, it just gives you that hope that maybe South Africa's got a chance, but you know, what are your thoughts?
Well, there was a wise friend of mine, Andrew Riddle, which we both know, that once told me it's the hope that kills you, you know, and I think during the ODI World Cup it was definitely, because there was that glimmer that entered back into my head. You know, we could have done the triple, you know, with Bafana getting close. But yeah, I think, again, as a country, it's a weird thing. We almost like avoid thinking about it or talking about it until about a third of the way in the tournament. And then everyone starts picking up their heads because South Africa's dark horse favorites to win the thing again. And then, you know, the next thing, you know, it's a semi-final and it's a last ball thriller. And, you know, we somehow seem to always know how to do it and at the wrong time in those games. But yeah, I mean, the hope kills you, but you've got to be positive as a South African, I guess. You know, we're always hopeful that we can get there. I think in T20, we've got more of a chance. Huge.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, exactly that. Look, we'll catch up with you when it comes to that in June timeframe and see what your thoughts are on it. But for the time being, we had to review a certain test match that recently completed, that being the India versus England third test. Did you get to much watch?
I didn't get to see most of the beginning, but I mean, it was quite interesting to see towards the latter end. Just again, I guess, an England team that still seems to misfire when it comes to the batting lineup. You know, there's always a one man band when it comes to either holding it together. There was some interesting stuff, but I was quite shocked, to be honest, to see the result. I didn't expect that kind of drubbing on the final day to England on their second innings. I think it's just, it's kind of par for the course now, seeing England's bottom order kind of, you know, topple away. I think we've seen that in numerous sides in our cricket too. But I mean, it's just, yeah, it's a shame. I think, like you said, you know, Indian wickets are difficult, but you know, these are top boys that are doing some great stuff. And I don't know, it's just, again, you know, getting beaten by that is a hefty margin.
Yeah, the thing is, though, it's the depth that worries me about Indian cricket. And I think any nation needs to be worried, because you look at who's missing. You know, they're missing Kohli, they're missing KL Rahul. The youth that's now coming through in people like Jaswal and, you know, it's Khan that's came through, the keeper, Jarrell. I mean, they've got the Jadeja batting at five. And I looked at that scorecard going, crikey, he's in about six, seven or eight. And, well, what do I know about cricket, right? He goes up and tons up in the first innings. And I mean, it's just the pure depth. And obviously, the, you know, a certain small tournament that they hold there seems to be uncovering this talent in the IPL. It's just more and more talent that they keep uncovering. And the thing for me is, it's, and again, we've said this on the pod a few times, if you've listened to it, is it's amazing how these guys are multi-format cricketers. They start off as T20 specialists, but then, well, you know, convert themselves into test cricketers. But yeah, I mean, what a knock by, first of all, Jaswal, another big 100 in the second innings. But, you know, when the man's down in Rohit Sharma, what does he go and do? You know, I was giving him absolute gears after the first two tests for scoring 80 runs in four innings, and then he goes and scores 130. So
he always ceases to amaze. Yeah, he's like the gift that keeps on giving, Rohit Sharma. He's always there. I think even the World Cup too, I think he showed his mettle again in that. But I think over the test match, I was super impressed with that second innings by Jaiswal. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think IPL, what it does is it creates, you know, people have found this new way of entering into the cricket world through theatre, you know, that IPL, you know, you've got to announce yourself in the cricketing world through that. And if you make it, then, you know, you go into the test arena where, you know, as previously, I think in decades prior, it was the other way around. You know, I think T20 was kind of seen as the end of the career, not the beginning of the career, which is quite interesting. I think the timeline of a cricketer's life cycle is very different at the moment, which is interesting. So, yeah, very impressed. I think, you know, a game, you know, a double 100 in the second innings to push them out of the game like that was incredible. Yeah, and I think, you know, like you said, the first two innings as well with those guys was great. Khan had a good little knock on his first day out too. Yeah.
Yeah, poor guy. You know, first innings, parents are there. I mean, I saw him get handed his cap, and his dad was in tears, and then old Ravinder Dadeja goes and tries to take a single on 99, absolutely barbecues him, gets him run out, and then, you know, I don't think I've seen an expression from Rohit Sharma like that. He literally got up and chucked his hat down inside of the dressing room. And then poor old Dadeja, when he gets his 100 eventually, very subdued, you know, celebration, poor guy. But yeah, I mean, we've all been there, right? All barbecued a mate on something, and well, yeah, it's part of cricket, I guess.
I mean, it's never with malintent, but I guess, yeah, it's always interesting to see that they are human at the end of the day too, you know.
Absolutely. True to form, whoever wins the toss wins the game so far in this series. I'm not saying that that's going to happen in every game, but it's been true to form. So, you know, you look at how England were blown away in that second innings by the spin attack of, I mean, you know, Ashwin even came back after, hopefully his mom's all okay, because I know he had to take some leave. So best wishes with Ashwin and his family. But I saw he even came back towards the end of the test after, you know, what a great accolade to get his 500th wicket.
Amazing. I did see that actually. Yeah, incredible. He's been a staple of that team for a very long time. So I think amazing for him. I think him and Jadeja, geez, what a unit those two have been over the years. Yes, on Indian pitches, it's impossible to play those two.
So, and then you've got Kuldeep Yadav also coming to the fore. I mean, you know, Jasprit Bumrah and Mohammad Shami only bowled 13 overs between them, and you know, the next 26 were between the spinners. So yeah. Again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the wickets in India. I'm just saying that they are very conducive to spin, and it is a test. But I do want to bring one thing up with you. I can't remember a test going the 5 days at the moment. Do we need to start thinking, or does world cricket need to start thinking about shortening tests to back to 4 days? Or I say back to 4 days. And there's a reason for that. When you look at all of these test series, like the recent one where South Africa toured New Zealand, they only had a two-match test series. Those only lasted 4 days. If they shorten them to 4 days as a format, not five, you know, maybe have a slightly shorter rest period between them, because it doesn't look like they're working that hard. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying that the test matches seem to be going true to form. So maybe converting the full days that they're traveling for, and instead of having a two match test series, converting it to three. But interested to hear your thoughts on what you think of a 5 day test versus a 4 day test.
Well, I think, listen, I think as a purist, I mean, again, my girlfriend always alludes to this, you know, how can you play 5 days of cricket? You know, she always laughs when I tell her that, but it's the purist's, you know, game, the 5 day game. But to answer your question, I think, you know, test cricket, I do take my hat off to what the English team have done over the last, you know, 18 months. I think, you know, due to popular demand, you know, they've definitely come out and changed the way we look at test cricket. But yes, I think something needs to change. I think we look at all other sports, look at all other disciplines. You know, if you're looking in different sport worlds, whether it's rugby, whether it's golf, whether it's cricket, whether it's tennis, you know, everyone has to evolve. And I think as much as the 5 day game for me is the purest form, it does need to evolve in some way. There needs to be certain things where, you know, even something like you said, maybe it's 4 days and you know, the fifth day becomes an option if the teams want to go down that route. You know, I think the idea of a fifth day on the odd chance that they want to go down that route, but I'd say 90% of test matches these days don't even make it, you know, to the end of the fourth day, hence the South African one that I went to. I mean, I got all excited, Eugene, in South Africa. You know, I think it was just post New Year's, you know, taking my girlfriend for the first time to Newlands. I was excited. I've had quite a lot of history at Newlands watching, you know, that whole sandpaper incident, which was quite crazy. And I've seen some interesting things on that ground. And for me to take my girlfriend there, I was really proud, you know, to hit down and sit down on the field. And guess what? 30 minutes later, you know, Virat Kohli obviously nicked one off, which was, you know, was unfortunate right at the end. But that game was over in 2 days, 2 and a bit days. I think we had half an hour of cricket that I got to enjoy, and the test match was over on day two. And I just, you know, I think about the commercials for that, you know, people that wanted to watch that, you know, vendors, just the whole ancillary piece, you know, everyone kind of didn't get their money's worth, or the cricketers, I think, you know, might be feeling a bit embarrassed about that. But I think that the game has changed so much from this T20 format in a positive direction that I think we've all forgotten about the test match format, and we haven't evolved that. I think there's definitely some things to evolve in that format that could definitely make it more appealing for viewers and for cricketers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's commercials, right? And I don't know if you heard the last episode that we recorded. I mean, West Indies cricket run at a loss when they have a test match in the West Indies. When they have an ODI, they make $1 million. So, you know, when it comes to, I guess, the eyes on TV, the sponsorship agreements, unfortunately, the commercials of test cricket are not there unless you're part of the big three.
Correct.
That being India, England, and Australia. But you know, when you look at the rest of the nations, unfortunately, there's not the draw. You know, I'm sure that the Ashes, when it was over here last year, I'm sure that was successful and there was a lot of money that was there. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's probably the only one of the few tests that I can think of that went full 5 days. And from memory, it was also rain affected. And that's the reason we got to see, you know, 5 days of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose I'm answering my own question there in that I do remember one test and that was during the Ashes. But I had sore feet for those of you that didn't know that we were.
Yeah, better you than me doing that, Huge. But I agree completely. But again, it's, I think 5 day cricket, and I look to, I mean, again, I heard back to this because I always use her as an example, but she really enjoyed, my girlfriend really enjoyed the Ashes, you know, because there was character, there's a storyline, there's a build up, there's, you know, I think it's all the peripheral things that make a test match more exciting than the actual game. You know, it's all the small little challenges, the little one-on-ones and the head-to-heads that get kind of pulled apart. Whereas I think these, you're right in saying that I think it's the top three that have kind of, I think there's too much disparity from the top and the bottom for me in test cricket. I don't want to watch Bangladesh play against Sri Lanka, you know, two great cricketing nations. But in a test match, you know, I'd get bored, I guess, watching after day two or three, you know, even like in India. You know,
well,
India,
hang on, before you move on from that, would you watch it in ODI or T20, those two sides?
Yes.
See. So that explains a little bit, I guess, mentality, right?
I think it's...
everyone with us.
Yeah, I think, and but what I'm saying is, I think you are right in that there are ways to combat that. I think the commercials make sense, but shortening it and putting smaller nuances into the game, you know, specific power plays or certain elements of the game that can be altered, you know, there could be definitely be, you know, we've converted the 100 to being even a quicker form of T20, for example. So why can't, you know, I think the 4 day cricket, I know, already works in the county area, but there definitely needs to be a commercial look at the 5 day game. And how do we make it more inviting and more of an experience is what I'm saying for consumers and viewers, but at the same time for cricketers, so they enjoy it more. You know, I think that 4 days is a long time, you know, 4 or 5 days, but you know, when you're on that field and you're enjoying it, yes, we could be out there for 30 days and we wouldn't blink an eye. So.
You know, we're sort of answering our own question by saying this, but the purists, that people that followed cricket for the past 20, 30 years, even 15 years, are the ones that'll go to test matches and enjoy literally watching a guy bowl or throw a rock down at another guy, where somebody, like you were saying, your girlfriend, Chloe, in who's new to cricket, she prefers the razzle dazzle of something like the 100 or the T20. Now, how do we incorporate that? It's almost like you come from a bit of a commercial background, yeah, especially when it comes to events. It's almost like you've done this before, not in cricket, but maybe in bars and pubs effectively. Dev, are you suggesting that maybe like a Super Bowl, they have like a, during the lunch break, there's almost a mini concert that goes on?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if I got thrown the bone, I would say, you know, how do we incorporate the crowd? You know, I mean, back in the days, you know, we used to get all the kids on the field, and you know, that's what I really enjoyed, Eugene, about the Betway T20. I think Graham and the guys have done an incredible job. We had quite a few extensive beverages together one night in Cape Town when I saw Kevin Peterson there too, and it's a spectacle, but also at the same time, it's inclusive for everyone, from the kids to the adults to the teenagers, everyone gets included. And I think it's that involvement that people feel like they're part of the fixture, they're part of the atmosphere. It's not just about the cricket game. I mean, I can't tell you how many games I used to go to Kingsmead as a junior. I never watched one ball because I was having so much fun, you know, with, you know, playing, you end up playing in the back corners and the corridors, you know, you're getting signatures from the guys. And I feel like it's lost a little bit of that shine that's, you know, for spectators, you know, it's a purist game. And if you don't like it, move on, kind of thing. And yeah, I think that there's a lot to add to that. I think, you know, bringing music into it, bringing family into it, you know, getting them included into it, letting them meet the guys and getting a little bit more of that interaction. I think it's lost a little bit of that customer shine, I think, for these events.
I wish our conversations would actually make a difference, but these are just our opinions on how things work.
Exactly.
You know, if we could change the world, we would, but unfortunately it's not for us. Before we do finish up, I'm interested in your thoughts on the South African side that toured New Zealand, and obviously it was only a 2-match test series. New Zealand won comfortably on both accounts, but again, I guess, you know, it comes down to the commercials. The SA20 is now the second richest T20 competition in the world. Sending a side to New Zealand, which probably isn't going to make those individuals the same amount of money. What are your thoughts on the disparity there?
Yeah, I think firstly, money aside, you know, we're such a proud cricketing nation, you know, and I think for the first time, I felt slightly shocked. You know, I think that they chose that over, you know, holding together a record. I actually saw a stat the other day about Graham Smith's tenure, obviously as a test captain, and you know, never losing a test match at the helm. And, you know, it's kind of those things. Usually we've got such a proud cricketing history, and then we send a team that, albeit there's some great players and there's, you know, there's no one holding that team together, you know, from, you know, Dean Elgar was incredible for a number of years, but, you know, with a team as strong as New Zealand, you know, you're going to come up, you know, well short for that. So I get it. The commercials on one side, you can look at it from two different lenses. The Betway is going to put South Africa back on the map from a cricketing community, which I see the positives. Yes. Is Test cricket and South African Test cricket going to be at the, you know, kind of fall to the wayside because of that? I think, you know, there might be, unfortunately, you know, the collateral for the gain in Betway T20 is the loss of South African Test cricket to a certain extent. You know, the purists are kind of moving their way because they know commercially, you know, salaries and stuff, and, you know, moving to the UK to play cricket here, or whether it's, you know, playing in those international circuits, you're not going to be able to make a living huge. I think it comes down at the end of the day, you know, what are you doing for yourself? You know, you're doing it for the passion, or you're doing it for your family. And I think, you know, sometimes those do collide. You know, it's quite hard to put someone on the spot with that. But I think in South Africa, sometimes they have to make a choice, you know, which is difficult.
Yeah. I mean, we do have to congratulate Kane Williamson on another fantastic, you know, set of hundreds, I guess we could call it, because of the way he's batting. He's now caught up with the other three in the big four. I mean, he's now up there with Steve Smith and Rohit Kohli back on the hundreds trail. He's now catching up with him. And I suppose just a last little bit to thanking you, or those of you that messaged me saying congrats on my test debut. It was in fact not me that was paying. It was Sean Bundaberg. I know we do look very similar. He's also also in shape. Let's go with that. Yeah, thank you for all of you that did message me congratulating me on my test debut. And it was funny because I didn't reply the whole of last week when I was getting all of these messages, because I was at a work conference, not playing cricket for South Africa and New Zealand.
Well, huge. I think you could have definitely played the way you played last season. I'm hoping you're back on track again this season.
Well, you know, it's the Woodstock gear that we use, right? I mean, they do sponsor the podcast. You might as well squeeze them in, even though they're not here today, old Jono. Oh, so,
I mean, listen, you're not gonna put 340 for a fourth wicket partnership against Teddington, you know.
yeah, for sure. Dev, it's been great having you on. Before we do go though, test match predictions. What do you think the end India versus England score going to be? Obviously, India 2-1 up at the moment. Two tests to play.
I think knowing England, I know England definitely have fight in them. I do give them a lot of credits, you know, for a lot of, you know, there's a couple of boys in that team that really stand up. But I think one word that evades them huge is consistency. So unfortunately, I do think they'll take one of the last two tests, but I do think it's going to be a 3-2 to India. I think we're going to see two results. And unfortunately, I think it is going to be I do think it might be 3-1, and then England in the last test will really shape up. I think it's one of those for me. But India are huge. When it's ragging like that, a very difficult team to beat. So I back England to get one under the belt, but not take the series.
I'd be quite interested if India chose the toss and for a change didn't choose to bat first, but maybe chose to bowl first, just to show that they can beat England in any conditions, and it's not about the pitch ragging second in England's second innings. But I wish I was as optimistic as you. I did make a statement today saying that, you know, Ashwin wasn't even playing for some of it. Kohli's not available. You know, India could have played with 8 players, and I still think they would have beaten India in these conditions. I don't know what the next two pitches look like, but I'm going to stick with my original thoughts of 4-1. So I'm going for India to continue winning and winning the next two tests. So,
A bit of a sting. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't put it past. I think I've got more hope than you and them clawing one back.
I love it. Dev, thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate it. Great to catch up. And we'll see you at Nets shortly. Yeah.
Very shortly. I'm excited for season. Can't wait.
Absolutely. Thanks, bud. Speak to you soon. Cheers.
Cheers to you. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.